Welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. This is Jim White.
And Emily Osmond.
From the Legion of Mary, Immaculate Conception Presidium of St. Mary the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, USA. Today is July the 20th, 2018. We'd like to begin by sharing with you an article by the Supreme Chaplain, Archbishop William E. Laurie, concerning evangelization. He says, most of us are familiar with a saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, preach always, and when necessary, use words. Some, including those who have carefully studied St. Francis's life and writings, doubt that he actually said that. This doesn't mean that the saying is wrong. After all, one of the most effective ways to spread the faith is to live the faith with integrity and joy, whether we are in public or in private. But good example, important as it is not enough. Words are almost always necessary. Let me illustrate why this is so. Most readers listening are married. What if you complain that your spouse never said the words, I love you? If your spouse responded, I don't have to. I show my love to you every day. I am going to guess you wouldn't be satisfied with such an answer. Husbands and wives need to say, I love you. Wouldn't life at home be better if every day parents told their children of their love and vice versa? Just saying so makes a difference, especially on a day when nothing has gone right. Sometimes tempted to use the words ascribed to St. Francis Assisi as a cop-out. No more excuses. We tell ourselves that if we lead good lives, we've done our part to support the church and its mission. No need to engage in discussions about religion, which can sometimes be heated. No need to challenge those who no longer practice the faith, including members of our own immediate family. Why harangue them? We ask ourselves. It'll do more harm than good. Well, let's take the haranguing off the table. Pestering and berating those who do not take their faith seriously is not likely to succeed. But we are called to speak about the faith to others with accuracy, confidence, and joy. St. Paul puts it this way, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? Thinking about St. Paul's words, one might say, great, I'm off the hook. I'm a layperson, not a priest. I don't have to preach. Priests are supposed to do that. My reply, not so fast. Didn't St. Peter exhort the whole church? Always be ready to give an explanation to everyone who asks for a reason for your hope. His words were not limited to priests and religious. They were addressed to every member of the church. Nevertheless, we may still be reluctant to speak about our faith to others. After all, fewer people these days identify themselves as believers. Some feel they can get through life just fine without God, or at least without any form of organized religion. Others think that all institutions, especially large ones such as the Catholic Church, are corrupt and out of touch. So we ask ourselves, what can I possibly say to such people? In a recent meeting, a colleague lamented how difficult it is to spread the gospel in the current cultural climate. Another colleague agreed, but added, spreading the gospel to the pagan culture of the Roman Empire wasn't exactly a picnic. Like those who went before us, we may experience ridicule and reflection when trying to share the gospel. But let's not forget two things. First, the Lord promised He'd never leave us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, He walks with us and empowers us. Second, in spite of the hard veneer of our culture, people are desperately searching for meaning and trying to make sense of their lives. Let us be confident that the Lord and the gospel have something critically important to say to such people. He really does want us to be His messengers of hope and joy. For in becoming one of us, and in dying to save us from our sins, the Son of God has shown us the ultimate meaning and destiny of our lives. Maybe we hesitate to speak of our faith to others because we feel unprepared. We may feel that our formation in the faith was inadequate, and that there are holes in our religious education. Or we may feel that we are not sufficiently advanced in the spiritual life to invite others to consider or reconsider the faith. So we'd rather leave spreading the gospel to the experts, that is, to priests and religious. The fact is, though, we all have to do our part. We need to equip ourselves for the work of spreading the gospel. We don't need a theology degree, but we do need to pray every day. Read scripture prayerfully. Take part in the Mass attentively. Go to confession regularly. And know and love our faith more deeply. As we speak about the faith, our deeds have to match our words. It's no good to speak about the faith and not to live it. And if we are living the faith, we should be willing to speak of it. The Knights of Columbus offers us a head start with tremendous resources for growing in prayer, our understanding of the faith, and charity. It also offers us a fraternal atmosphere, which encourages us to both live our faith and bear witness to it. In fact, this is one of the principal reasons why Father McGivney founded the Knights. Aided by his example and prayers, may we bear witness to Jesus in both word and deed. As mentioned earlier, this was a message given to us by the Supreme Chaplain, Archbishop William E. Laurie of the Knights of Columbus.
Welcome to the Hour of Great Mercy, brought to you by the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium here at St. Mary the Assumption in Hokesson, Delaware. As to the history of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. Then she found herself pleading with God for mercy with the words she heard interiorly.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us.
As she continued saying this inspired prayer, the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she again heard this interior voice, instructing her now to recite the prayer that the Lord later called the chaplet. This time, after "Have mercy on us," were added the words "and the whole world." From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached extraordinary promises to its recitation. "Encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation, even if there were a sinner most hardened. If he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will." Prayed on ordinary rosary beads, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is an intercessory prayer that extends the offering of the Eucharist, so it is especially appropriate to use it after having received Holy Communion at Holy Mass. It may be said at any time, but our Lord specifically told St. Faustina to recite it during the 9 days before the Feast of Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter. He then added, "By this novena of chaplets, I will grant every possible grace to souls." It is likewise appropriate to pray the chaplet during the Hour of Great Mercy, 3 o'clock each afternoon, recalling the time of Christ's death on the cross. In his revelations to St. Faustina, our Lord asked for a special remembrance of his passion at that hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible: Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America; Tony McGinley of Aremis Communications; AJ Laporta, who provided the music; Ann Courtney and the members of the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m.